God's love and peace be with us again today. We've gathered again to sit beneath the cross, as we sang about, and catch that healing stream. The blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Appreciated that song, that the other song of Everlasting Light. It had been some time since we sang that song. I remember singing that as a young boy, old song. And that second verse there, it says, "O everlasting truth, truest of all that's true, sure guide of erring age or youth, lead me and teach me too." I wasn't sure where to go with the message. And this week, about Tuesday, work was kind of shut down and because of the rain. And I was thinking and praying and decided to take a little walk in Fruita, get some fresh air, and just parked at Tree Value there and was walking down the trail a little. And if you're familiar with that trail, you know that you come down to the bottom where the wash is, and off to the left it goes under the highway there. But they had a closed sign. The bars were across the trail. It said closed. And I saw something else, kind of interesting. There was mud under on the trail. It had been a flash flood, obviously, and there was a man struggling through the mud. He was picking his way through the mud, and sometimes he'd be down on one knee and grabbing his shoe, and mud all the way up to his knees. And I tried not to watch real close. I kind of stood there looking at the water a little and watching him out of the corner of my eye, see if he needed a hand. But after a bit, he hollered my way and said, "Yeah, I guess they meant what they said." And he came up and talked a little bit. He's from Baltimore, Maryland, and here visiting his son. But yeah, just thought about that, you know. Wow, what a lesson. Closed. Meant what it said. I wonder sometimes if God sees me that way, as that man, struggling, doing it my way, ignoring closed signs. Thinking I know best. Thinking God may not know what he is talking about. No, we wouldn't think that, right? I mean, or we'd say we wouldn't believe that, but do I ever live that way? Or think I need to try it out first? It's been a heavy week for our family. I just wanted to ask for prayer request. Our oldest son is not wanting to serve the Lord, as you know. And he plans to leave in a few weeks. And so it's hard as I see my son doing that same thing. Watch him going down the trail into the mud. And I wish I could pull him back. Maybe you can join us in praying. I know you have been. So maybe we can look at that a little bit as we go through the message here. There's a high road, there's a low road. The low road is the broad road, leads to destruction. The high road is the straight gate. So join us in praying, as I said, for my son, that he would come to know the Lord, most of all, without a heart after God. We don't have a spiritual vision. God doesn't force against someone's will, but he can make people willing. Pray for me, that I would learn the lessons I should be learning, failings that I have, and pray that we could show him love, Jesus' love. If you would turn to Psalm 81, your Bible, Psalm 81, verse 8. Okay, now I think we're going to start at verse 3. It says, "Blow up the trumpet and the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day, for this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not." So he's referring to Israel in Egypt, in bondage. "I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in secret. In the secret place of thunder, I proved thee at the waters of Meribah." Selah. "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." God said, "I wish my people would have listened. Would have been much easier for them. But they had to try their own way. They thought they did." Let's go to John chapter 3, a few verses in the New Testament. John 3. And you children know that John 3 is where this verse is found, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just like on the road behind me here. Yes, the high road, sometimes our muscles ache. Sometimes the sweat pours, sometimes we get some scrapes from the rough road, but it leads to life, hope, glory, fulfillment. Let's read John 3:17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." So that he's saying the goal of God was not to God didn't give up when man sinned and just heap condemnation. That was not his purpose. To condemn the world, but that the world through him, Jesus, might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, or they are built, founded in God. Psalm 106:15 says this, and he, God, gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Speaking of Israel again, we read about Israel in Psalm 81 and in Psalm 106, God gave them their request in their complaining, in their whining. He said, okay, here it is, if you want it, sure. But he sent leanness unto their soul. And if I am experiencing leanness this morning, thinness, maybe it's because there's bad attitudes in my heart. Or I'm trying out closed trails. Maybe I'm not actually wallowing in the mud, but maybe I'm skirting the closed trail and checking it out and watching and being pulled that way. Thin souls. Physical plenty, spiritual thinness. The question I have is, do I ever put an open sign where God says closed? Like that man did walking on the trail. He said, oh, well, I'm going to consider it open. It says closed, but I know better. Do I ever do that? Maybe it's in my diet. My diet. What I think on. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Lack of gratitude, criticalness toward others, vengefulness. Maybe it's in my reading material. Material things pull. Nice things. Love of the world. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. In my reading material. Or in my music. Hankering after the sensual. Music that appeals to my senses and is shallow spiritually. Maybe I make issues gray that God says are black and white. And I say, oh, maybe. Love not the world, but I get as close to the world as I am allowed to get. Not in the mud, really, but, you know, right on the edge of the mud. Sometimes my foot slips into it. Maybe I'm not up to my knees in the world's value system, but just up to the soles of my shoes. Just enough sticking there. Is there selfish spots in your life where you're saying open when God says closed? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That's open. Romans 12 says, in honor, preferring one another. Jesus also said, for even as I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life as a ransom for many. Closed to self, but I say open at times because I love myself. Jesus says it's closed. I could think of some people in Scripture that some positive, some negative, how they responded to a closed sign in their life. And one of the first ones that comes to our mind probably is Balaam. Balak said, I've heard of Balaam, and I know that whoever Balaam curses is cursed, whoever Balaam blesses is blessed. So I'm going to go look up Balaam, and I'm going to ask him to come and curse my enemies for me. Seemed like a good solution. So they came to Balaam, and Balaam said, well, I am going to have to check with God about this, because I can only do what God says, right? If God says go, I'll go. If God says no, then I can't curse, right? And so he checked with God that night while he slept, and God said, no. You will not, you shall not do that. And that was Balaam's answer. And he told the people the next morning that, no, God did not let me do that. So they went back, and should have been the end of the story, right? But we know the story, that read it in Numbers 22 if you're not familiar with it. They came back, and Balaam said, well, you know, I'm going to ask again. I need to ask again. And God said, yeah, go ahead. But he sent leanness unto Balaam's soul, didn't he? Balaam continually ignored clothes. It was not God's will for him to go. But God said, if you want to go, I can't keep you from going. If you want your way, go ahead and take it. And we know where the end of Balaam's life went. The way it went, he ended up killed with Israel's enemies. Let's think of a positive example. Let's think of Joseph. Young man, vulnerable, sent to Egypt. And Potiphar saw that this was a good man, and everything that Joseph touched and led out in was blessed, and so he eventually turned his whole property over to Joseph, and he didn't worry about what went on. But there was one place that was closed, and it was Potiphar's wife, right? And it should have been closed. God said closed. Joseph said, yes, that's right. That's a closed trail. I'm going to go on the high road. Saul. What about Saul? Saul barged through many closed signs in his life, didn't he? One of the first ones was when he was supposed to wait for Samuel to offer the sacrifice. And he said he waited and he waited. Was it 7 days? And then he told Samuel, you weren't coming. So I forced myself and offered this sacrifice. Samuel said, what? What are you thinking, Saul? You have disobeyed God. That was closed. You flipped it around. You said open. He also went through a closed sign when he didn't destroy the Amalekites totally. and you save the best things. He allowed it to happen as the leader. And people do that today. They say, well, but God wants the best for his people, doesn't he? So sure, go ahead. And even though the scriptures say not, God is a loving God and he wants the best, just like Saul here. Saul also went through a closed sign when he consulted a witch. Big no-no, and Saul knew it, but he did it anyway. And by that time, he was probably so deceived that maybe he didn't feel a lot of pricks in his conscience. We don't know. Let's turn in the scriptures to Jeremiah 35. We know what happened to Saul. Saul was slain. He was killed. The enemies of Israel triumphed over him. There was no protection from God anymore. Let's read about something more positive here. Jeremiah 35, verse 2. God speaking to Jeremiah. It says, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land wherein you be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Verse 12, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. The words of Jonadab the son of Rechab that he commanded his sons not to drink wine are performed, they're done. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking. But ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings. Go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. We could keep reading, but so it's some positive and some negative. But we, if we read on, we know that the Rechabites, God pronounced a blessing for obedience, for respecting the closed sign. And he wanted that to be a lesson to his spiritual people, Israel. If they can obey their father over these small things, Israel, I want you to listen. Samson went through closed doors, didn't he? One of the biggest ones was when he broke the covenant with his God. God had said, you're to be a Nazarite from birth. And that meant not to cut his hair at all, as I understand. And Samson, because he had allied himself with a godless woman, He broke God's covenant. She whined it and weaseled it out of him, and he let his hair be shaved, cut. And it says he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He thought, I'll just go out like before. He had confidence in his strength. He had went through a closed door, and God respected his choice and took his spirit away from him. God will not be mocked. Galatians tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I go through a closed sign, I'll reap the mud, I'll reap the misery, I'll reap eventually eternal destruction. Achan was another man that went through a closed trail, didn't he? And he thought he could get by with it. He did for a little bit. I don't know how long it was, but he probably thought he had sneaked by somehow. Till one day, he was singled out and called into account. Daniel and his friends respected the closed sign, on the other hand. Remember Daniel and his three friends. Again, young, vulnerable men in an enemy land. And there was meat and drink set before them that God had apparently said, don't do it. This is not what my plan is for you, according to their dietary laws. And Daniel said, look, this is closed to us. We can't do it. And we know that the Lord prospered him and rewarded him. I think we'll go now to Numbers 14. Numbers 14 is kind of another graphic account of choices. Just about six verses here. For a little bit of the backdrop, we know that Israel had sinned and doubted exceedingly by being fearful, by doubting God. When the 10 spies came back from searching Canaan, and God said, all right, this is enough. Anyone that is 20 years old and upward will not enter the promised land. For each day that the spies were in the land, God said, we're going to have a year. So 40 days equaled 40 years, and it's going to be 40 years till your children can go into the land because you believe not. So let's read Numbers 14:39. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly, and they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. It's a little bit like children quickly saying, we'll be good. We'll be good. We'll be good. We will go up. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you. Ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. So you can just see Moses sitting there in the camp with a heavy heart. All the other people rushed off. Then the Amalekites came down, the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them even unto Hormah. The way of the transgressor is hard. So moving on, am I known to be one who has to learn the hard way? You know, we sometimes see people with their personalities. Some are different. But we say, well, that person has to learn the hard way too often. They think they need to feel for themselves how this will work. Is that me? Am I stubborn? Or do I appreciate wisdom? Do I appreciate wisdom? Do I appreciate experience? Do I appreciate those older? Do I believe that in the multitude of counselors there is safety? Proverbs 107:17 says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted." Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. They have hard life. Another question. What tempts us onto closed trails? You know, why did that man, why was he tempted to even try? Well, I think there could be multiple reasons, but let's just explore a few. We think of our first mother, of Eve. Why was she tempted to go onto a closed trail? Well, it was because she had lived happily in the garden for how long, we don't know. And she had everything in the garden, but just one tree. I think there was actually two trees maybe, but this one tree they were not supposed to eat of. And she was happy. But Satan planted this seed in her mind that, oh, maybe I can become a god or like God if I can discover new things and new experiences. Curiosity, discovery, that takes us on to closed trails sometimes. And a lot of that is discontentment, lack of gratitude. Another one is we tell ourselves, well, it can't be that bad. We're overly confident. And that could have been that man's thinking, right? Wow, it says clothes, but come on, a little bit of mud on my shoes, that's okay. Instead, he had mud up to his knees and was embarrassed, I think. Can't be that bad. In other words, we think we know better than the one who put up the closed sign. The Bible says, "Be not wise in your own conceits." Be not wise in your own conceits. And this next one is closely related to the first one, curiosity and discovery. It's simply this: we think we are being deprived. We think we are being deprived, we are unfulfilled, our life is boring, so we go onto a closed trail. We think, subtly we think, that God is holding us back from fulfillment, from discovery. But you know what, you fathers, you know that you wouldn't hold your children back from good things. How much more our Father, God. And so we just should believe God, that God is my designer, God is my creator, knows just what I need. Romans 16:19 says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Remember, we're exploring this. What tempts us on the closed trails? Have you ever been tempted with, if I go through life and I'll never experience that, I would like to try it. God says, no, stop. If that would have been good for you, I would have allowed that. Next time you're tempted with that. Another reason we go on to closed trails is we isolate ourselves. And in our vulnerability, well, first of all, we need to believe that when we're isolated, we actually are vulnerable. If you don't believe that, you're in trouble. But we isolate ourselves, and then in our vulnerability, we are led astray. And the scriptures bring that out repeatedly. You know, accountability to one another, submitting to one another, is not just a nice idea. It's imperative for our spiritual survival. Accountability, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. You don't have to turn to these few verses, but I'm going to read a few verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Some of you may know where I'm going with this, but here's what the Bible says. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I'd like to explore a little now what keeps me, what keeps you from going on to closed trails. We had talked about what tempts me, what keeps me from going. How do I have victory? Well, first of all, if we're not broken, we haven't met the Lord, we're not humble, we won't have victory. Humility simply says, well, the one who put up the closed sign must know better than I do. We respect experience. We respect history. We respect age. And we respect God. That's humility. Another one that I believe is imperative to victory is faith. Faith, we talked some about that, but it's simply believing that God, my Creator, actually knows what I need. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 tells us, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Another one is fear of God. Some of these overlap a little bit, but fear of God leads to obedience. Fear of God leads to, when I see that closed sign, I say, I don't even linger, because lingering is too often it goes to doing, right? Turn around and I walk the other way. Fear of God. Maybe it's fear of consequences. Maybe I've done this like our theme man did there. Walked in the mud. I know the consequences and I respect those consequences. That's wisdom. But modern Christianity, and we sometimes have blurred this. We feel that because God is love, and our culture teaches that love is tolerance, love is fuzziness, and we say, well, God is love, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's not so bad. I can just sort of repent quick or just try it out and be not deceived. God is not mocked. Okay, keys to victory, keys to not going on to closed trails. Maybe my parents taught me that closed does mean closed. Okay? Many children have not been taught that. That closed means closed. And maybe I, as a parent, am not modeling that to my children. We talked a little bit in our Sunday school about laws and safety and so on. Do our children watch us, just ignoring laws and kind of doing stuff, making up our own law? Then we expect them to model God's law somehow, these closed trails. So parents, how is our example? And the last one here I have on this question is maybe what keeps me off of closed trails is because I will have to give an account. Let's not despise that. Some people thumb their noses at accountability and they say, well, if I have the Spirit of God, why do I need to be accountable? Well, the Spirit of God gave us the Scriptures, didn't He? And it teaches accountability. We know that saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So those that do not have to give account to another person become dictators at times. They become corrupted and selfish and do things they never dreamed they would do. So accountability is not spiritual deadness, but it is actually spiritual wisdom. I invite you now yet to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 14 to 17, let's read. Actually, verse 13, Ephesians 5, 13, says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest," and this word manifest means simply are revealed, "by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly." He means walk circumspectly, look around, be aware, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Redeeming the time. Redeeming means buying up the time. Rescuing time from loss. We're talking about avoiding the mud. Some verses here at the end about fools and wise, just contrast a little bit. It says some verses about fools, Proverbs 14:9, say this, "Fools make a mock at sin." Fools make a mock at sin. Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Romans 1:21 and 22, "Because that when they knew God," okay, follow this sequence of deception. These people knew God, and so that's a point of choice. What are they going to do with their knowledge of God? "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And we see that progression. They knew, but they made a choice to do it their own way instead. And then so God gave them up to deception, vanity, vain imaginations, and then eventually darkness of heart, desolation, and how depressing that is. Let's flip the page, but the wise. The scriptures teach us in Psalm 119, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I want you to think about that verse. Sometimes we hear that so often, we just don't think about what that means. It simply means that God's word gives us light. And as we go through the rough places of the world, that we have the light to avoid the stones, to avoid the holes, to avoid the traps of the enemy. John 1, verse 4, "In him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men." Life, light. We can't have it without Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You need to follow that. We profess, he says, walk as children of light. Proverbs 3:7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Poison, turn away. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Run from the close signs. Never harbor the thought that I am being deprived. Because as Eve, so we today have so much that we can do, right? And Satan points to the stuff that you can't do. Gratitude, thankfulness, trust of God, faith. Satan wants us to focus on restriction. Let's focus on abundance. Proverbs 14:16, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." Luke 1:79, this is speaking of Jesus, and I believe it's when Simeon had met him at the temple as a baby. Luke 1:79, "To give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The way of peace. So the choice is yours this morning. We can choose peace or misery. We can choose life or we can choose death. God is glorified by our choices. He never ties people up, does he? He never ties people up and makes them follow him. There is a high road and there is a low road. The high road leads to eternal bliss, leads to glory, leads to life. The low road leads to misery, and the mud just keeps getting deeper and deeper until eventually it turns into quicksand and our head goes under. Proverbs 15:24, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. God help us. Let's kneel for prayer.